parents-teacher conference, and the father comes in, a shliach, someone who I consider a lamdan, knows a lot of Torah, and it's supposed to be for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, we have to stop to go to the next parent, but he said, I'm going to come back after all the parents are done. This is mamish negeya. We're going to continue to speak about it. I said, bakavod, well, you know, let's speak, let's talk. And his question was, why are you teaching Gemara? That was his question. Why are you teaching Gemara? Well, let's see. Okay, good question. Well, okay. So I wanted to answer the question, and we had a good discussion, and Baruch Hashem, we had a good year. That being said, he wasn't just asking a question, like I mentioned. This was someone who's a shliach, someone who really knows how to learn. And he bought Makairis. He said, let's go to the Mishnah Novus, Perikei, Mishnah Chof Beis. We all know the Mishnah, Ben Esther the Mishnah, Ben Chomesh the Mikra, Ben Esther the Mishnah, and Ben Chomesh Esther the Gemara. 15 years old, start learning Gemara. It's not just the Mishnah, it's Halacha. Go to Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Kaplan was before speaking about Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Alter Rebbe there starts off regarding learning Torah, and he says the exact same thing, Lahalacha. 15 years old, start learning the Gemara. That's it. Close all the books. Not all the books, just the Gemaras. Close the Gemaras. That's what that. And he backs it up. A lot of his children know the entire Shas, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, before the Bar Mitzvah. Tells me, I do it, and it works. So, this was his question. My answer was, we all know that there is the curriculum from Merkez Inyanei Chinuch, and look at the curriculum. Clear as day. In fifth grade, you're learning 10 daf of Gemara. In sixth grade, you're learning 25 daf of Gemara. In seventh grade, you're learning 35 daf of Gemara. Eighth grade, 50 daf of Gemara. So, definitely keep the Gemaras open, but he has a good question. So, this has been sitting on my chest for a while, and I've been thinking a lot. I'm going to share my thoughts, and obviously, afterwards, at the end, would love to hear your thoughts. A child's brain is a child's brain. A child learns the way a child learns. We, as adults, we're much more mature, and we learn in a much more sophisticated way, way more sophisticated than a child. So what do? We approach a Gemara, and there's so many layers. And we want that our Talmidim should learn all these layers really, really well. So we break it down into many different parts, many different levels. We explain it in different ways. We give great examples. We have PowerPoint presentations, so there's image on the screen. We put it in a story. The bottom line is, it's too much for the kids. The Havana, the way we as adults understand the Gemara, is too much. So I want to be very, very clear. I'm not Chas V'Shalom saying not to teach the Havana of the Gemara. But when you learn, you know there's the what and there's the why. Stick to the what. Even if the Gemara is saying, my timer, what's the reason? Say what the Gemara says is the reason. The same way you learn a Mishnah, how do you learn a Mishnah? There's a case. You don't just say words. There's life. There's Havana to the case, right? There's understanding here. But what do? You teach just the case. You don't get lost. You don't go into the whole amkus. What is the case of the Mishnah? That's what you teach. The same way you teach Mishnah, teach Gemara. Ben Esa le Mishnah. That's how you learn Gemara. At 10 years old, learn Gemara the same way you learn Mishnah, which practically means, one practicality of it means, teach the what, stay away from the why. Well, we'll see when we get to DI, differentiated instruction, we'll speak a little bit about that. But generally, stay away from the why. Also, like mentioned before, there's many different layers. So I'm going to show in a second the first Mishnah of a Mafkid. That's what we teach in grade 6. So that's Bamezar Tsei. And let's look at the first Mishnah. In order to understand the first Mishnah of a Mafkid, you really have to know these concepts, really the sixth concept. I'll just mention them very briefly. You have to know a Reisha and Seifa. You have to know the beginning and end of the Mishnah, two cases. You have to know Kenyan, Second, you have to know kinyan as an action that closes the deal, that makes the shema a shema. You have to know the dalal shema. You have to know when a shema chinam is chayev and when he's pater. You have to know when a ganav has to pay kaifel, dalal vehei, lemafreya. These are concepts that you need to know in order to learn the Mishnah. Now, for an 11-year-old to learn all of these concepts is a big, big ask. We don't just ask that. We ask, good question. We can speak about it. No, Lachari, you don't need Lemafreya for the first Mishnah. I spend a lot of time speaking, just give a shout out to Hananya Hoffinger. He's incredible with Gemara Academy. We discussed it a lot. And the way we came to the Maskana was you do learn in the Mishnah. We'll discuss it. So this is the point. As adults, we learn like that. We think. How did it work in the Mishnah? How did it work in the Mishnah? How did he acquire just the kaifel, not the actual animal? How did that work? That's the way we learn. That's the way we learn. And then what do? We project that onto the children. We want the children to learn on our level, right? So we want them to master not just these concepts, we want them also to connect all the concepts together. And I did it. Not only did I do it, I had a father and son see him, and a kid got up. I could play the video if I had asked permission. It's a beautiful story. He says over the whole Gemara in 2.5 minutes as a story. And if a big round of applause at the end of the story was amazing. But if you ask me, what I asked the kid to do was way more than he's capable of doing. And to maintain this for a year is just too much. It's too much for the kid. So what I'm suggesting is they need to know concepts in order to be able to learn Gemara. It's vital. It's very, very important that they learn these concepts. But to take it to the next step, to connect, to put it all together, that is too much for them. Okay? So now that we have this clear down pat, that the way we're learning Gemara is the same way we learn in the Mishnah, stick to the what, not the why, making those connections, the Gemara does on its own. Remember, they're learning the Mishnah, they need to remember a Mishnah is a Tana. Then they go to the Gemara, they need to remember the Gemara is an Amira. Now, an Amira is making a comment on the Mishnah. That connection you're already asking them to do. To ask them to do more, is too much. So, to ask them to make the added connections that we are putting on, not what it says in the Gemara, that we are putting on, I feel like it's too much. And then, what happens is, the answer to my question of how much Gemara a year I learn is full daf. Because, as you're going to see now in the lesson plan, my lesson plan is not the way Be'ezus Hashem is going to be next year after making this Cheshbon HaNefesh. Okay? I just want to just take a pause for a second. Yeah. Excellent. Brilliant. Yeah. We do get those questions the whole time. You'll notice. What? I'll tell you. I'm going to say it outside. We'll come in a second. Great question. His question is, a lot of times Talmidim want to know the why. Saying over here to only teach the what for Gemara, but Talmidim ask the why. And the answer is, that is a beautiful opportunity to, as we're going to get to DI in a second, to have those Talmidim feel special. In Hamafkid, we have a Gemara where an Amira asks another Amira question. What does he do? Doesn't answer. V'shape avad, he did good. D'lo yahadali, they didn't answer me. So get the student to see if you think of the answer. And then, what? Good. Get the student to think. Say again? When the way the Gemara explains the why, you're teaching the Gemara. But what we do is, so often, we as adults, we need to understand. So the Gemara says the reason. I need to know more. So what the Gemara's reason is, that you have to teach to the kids. You're teaching the Gemara to the kids. But what are you teaching? Just what the Gemara says.
It sounds like what you're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah,
there's too much lumping in together. Rather, if we kind of break things up in much more bite-sized, they'll be able to understand it and relate.
Right, but where I personally went wrong is, I broke it up, right? But even after that, what happens is, if you break everything up so much, then it's beautiful, that's put it all together. And it becomes too much for the kids. So if I had to share an honest projection of the way my class understands the Gemara from this year, right? First off the bat, I would tell you, I have grades. They all did well. Not all. Majority did well. If you look at the grades, as the year went on, for some kids it did get harder. But overall, test marks will show you that they did well. Okay? So that's what I would tell you. But they didn't really do well. Why? Because I'm saying with the Havana of the Gemara. Why? Because they answered, meaning to say what I was aiming to do. They answered the questions for the concepts, so they know the concepts. But to put it all together, that was too much. And those questions weren't on my test. So my test showed me that they knew concepts, that they understood the basic Havana, right? But I spent a lot of time teaching much deeper than that, and that wasn't on the test. So what I want to do is, which will be in the last panel in a second, I want to do is focus much less on the added Havana, which for younger kids, it's too much. And that way, hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem will be able to cover more ground. Not the point of covering ground, but to use out the time. Yeah. So what I would argue is look at the amount of duff. You could learn a lot more. I would think so, because even I taught over the years kids which are geniuses. They're really, really smart, and you know, when they're gonna be older, they're gonna be Be'ez Hashem, they're gonna be Mamish Lamdanim, right? Way smarter than me. They're just a lot younger than me, that's all. So those kids, even though they're brilliant, I saw they haven't got the tvisa that an adult has. Like, he asked a question, I was blown away by the question. I'm like all excited to discuss it with him, right? It's tasteless. I'm like, do you get it? He says, yeah, I get it. He doesn't get it. So this kid, I can play you a video now, a kid speaking 2.5 minutes. He's saying over the whole Gemara. The parents were blown away. Whoa, this kid, right? But he's saying words. So I asked my friend to watch the car, and he lifted up the car keys because he heard me so many times saying an example of a king. It's too much for him that, oh, that's an example of a king. It doesn't mean every Kenyan needs to be in action. The way a kid thinks is Kenyan means this. No. Kenyan means an action that closes a deal. That could be expressed in different times. Going off like that? Now, I'm not saying that every kid is like that, but as a general rule, it is, even the smartest kids, it is, they're kids. They're kids. So to answer your question, the same way I can answer the question, you can answer the question. I'm here sharing what I've been thinking. I would base, again, going back to Torah, is what the halacha is saying. When you're 15 years old, that is an age where a kid's mind is already able to learn Gemara on a much deeper level. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Basically, I test the whole separate discussion, right? But just to address it briefly, is that I wanted them. They knew. You look at this Cheshbon HaNefesh, right? So did my kids know the Gemara? Yeah, they knew full daf of Gemara on a certain level, right? So I wasn't going to test them on things that I felt they weren't capable of doing. Well, I'm going to test. Good. That's how good for you. Right. You're right. In Achanami. You're right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I don't know how we're doing the time. Okay, so we'll just get to a lesson plan. What I'm showing over here is, you can't see, but I'll say what it says briefly. What I'm showing over here is things that I tried to do last year, but something that I really want to work on is consistency. Is that consistency to really keep to these times. So what I'd love to do is to do this Bli Neder every day before class. And the real part of it is to do what I did before I came here, just to say over the 10 minutes of Havana, to actually say it over. So we'll start off with the outline of the class. Chevra, today we're going to be learning the first Mishnah of Amafkit. It's the Reish on a Seifa. That means there's two cases. Okay? You need to know that at the end of today's class, you're going to learn two cases. Then I'll spend 10 minutes of the Havana. I want to have a hook, something that's going to grab their attention. So this is something which isn't going to be, you know, that never happens. We're going to be dealing with things that happen every single day in school. You're about to go to the bathroom. Hey, Reuven, can you hold my watch for me? It happens every single day. So make sure you pay attention because this is really, really relevant to you. And then I would go through the cases. Again, not to get lost and to make it, obviously you want to make it interesting, but I want to keep it short, sweet, to the point. When I was practicing in the car on the way here, every minute I kept going off, like, oh, it reminds me of a good story, this and this, that. But 10 minutes on the Havana, really to stick to that. After they have 10 minutes of the Havana, then to go to the Gemara Bifnim, which I'll get to the next slide. And then after the Gemara Bifnim, we have a workbook to see that they actually got the Gemara, and it's also a good way to hold them accountable. And then Bachazar, which I'll get to also momentarily. So the way I was doing Gemara Bifnim was this way, and this is the, you know, the ikkar of the presentation, practical way I was doing it, and I was actually just speaking to another Malamed, and he told me another way, which I'll put up on the screen in a second, and then obviously if people have other ways, please share, is that the first way, just before I continue, I want to give a big shout out to Rabbi Wolf, he's sitting here. Myself and Rabbi Wolf, we worked together for 4 years, and a lot of what I'm giving over here was makabel from Rabbi Wolf. So thank you, and really much appreciated. So first way, I would say first time, but it's really the first way we do the Gemara is Rabbi is going to say both the words and the taich, looking inside the Gemara. The kids know inside, looking inside the Gemara, and the kids are going to be also saying words and taich. That's the first way. So how long does that take? It totally depends on the piece of Gemara. So if it's a very easy piece, it could be even that I'll jump to the second way. However, today's a very special day. We're going to start off not doing the first way of Gemara. We're going to start off doing the second way. What's the second way? Rabbi just says the words and the class says the taich. And we do this a bunch of times. After they've got it down pat, heard a good vart, Rashi and Tosfos have 4 lines before the Amud starts. Each piece of Gemara you're supposed to cement by learning it 4 times. So they learn the piece of Gemara 4 times themselves, Bifnim. Yeah. Do how many times you need it. You see by the class. You see, Hamafke, they saw Haveiro, he wanted to deposit by his friends. And meanwhile, they need to wake up. They're still sleeping. Okay, very nice. All these boys are saying it. Okay, let's go again. Hamafke, it's Haveiro. How many times? I'm saying, you could do a few words over and over. You could do the piece. The first, that's why I say it's the first way rather than first time. It's the first way you do it a bunch of times. And the same thing with the second part. Okay. So there you go. And then after that, they go to the workbook. So hopefully now they know the Gemara very well. And they're able to fill out the Taich. And they're also able to fill out the Havana. After that is Bachazar. And I'm curious to see, before I go to Bachazar, I'll just give you another way of doing Bifnim, which I heard from a teacher, is that he says after Havana, he goes straight to saying the Taich. He says the Taich with the words. So he says, the point is they're filling out their workbook. And if they don't need these words they don't have to fill out. And then, now they're prepped to learn on their own. So now they use their workbook if they get stuck. And then they learn 4 times, right? After that, he goes to the Havana of the Gemara, and then he has them a second time learn the Gemara 4 times inside. That's what I heard from a teacher, and found it very interesting, and maybe we'll implement this here. Then we do Bachazar at the end of the class. By the way, if I just go back to the lesson plan, the kids know that the class, again, I need to be really disciplined and really stick to the time, but the kids know the class is 45 minutes. In 45 minutes, it can cover a really good amount of Gemara. So 45 minutes broken up into the longest part of the class is Bifnim, 12 minutes. That's doable for anyone. All of a sudden, I was enjoying the Rosh Hashiva's speech before, but in the middle I got a little, like, I thought it's over, and then he went, when's it over? When you know it's a 45-minute class. It's a 45-minute class, and the longest part of it is 12 minutes. Doable. What? If I could stick to this, then yeah, you could do in the 45-minute class, you could do a whole mission, you could do a whole piece of Gemara. Now, if you want to do longer, If your school does longer, brilliant. So do double the time and do double the amount of Gemara. If I would cover the ground that I want to cover, then yeah. But the way it's supposed to be is that's the class of Gemara, then it's a break, and then the next class of Mishnayos, right? But, correct. Yeah. Say the class is if you have a class longer than 45 minutes, 50 minutes, then I find the kids you. Okay. Well, I would love to hear how that goes in a second. You have them all paying attention and taking everything in for now in 20 minutes. Okay. So an hour 20 minutes straight, by the way. So you have 80 minutes of them sitting paying attention. Right. Right. Okay. Okay, so I'm saying okay, interesting. So one final thing, how we do Bechazar, I'll be curious to see Be'ez Hashem with covering more ground this upcoming year, if I'll be able to do more than this. What I did is I broke up the Bechazar. So I said, we're going to be focusing on doing the first 10 pieces of Chazara. So the last part, you're going to see you have 5 minutes of Chazara, you check off how much Chazara you did, and you go through it. When you finish each of the pieces 12 times, so then, and again, you can go for DI, what happens to the kid who finishes it very quickly and he's really doing it, he's not fooling you, so you add boxes and so forth. We'll get to there, hopefully, by DI. But when you finish it, so then in the classroom, we have a Gemara Champ sign, and it feels very, very cool for the kid to have his name stuck up on Talmud. Again, consistency. This was amazing, the first like quarter of the year, and then I slacked off with putting their names on the wall and had a big effect. So it's something I really, really really want to work on going forward with the consistency. But there you have it. So when what's cool about it is each section is independent. So the first 10 pieces, you did Chazar of each piece 12 times, you get your name on the first rank, it's Talmud. Now we go on to the next level, the next 10 pieces. So the kid wasn't so involved the first, he didn't do it so many times, he's able to get his name on the second time.
So then he can get the name on the first
time. No, each one is independent. So
not really,
it's cool if you're able to, at the end of the year, you say, I have all the ranks. It's not tully, it's not dependent. Correct. Six, the 11 turning 12. It's first of all, it's
another day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second thing is usually the kids start learning much easier for them to do something on their own, and you start talking.
Okay, that's a great question. Actually, interesting. I did start off doing with Bechazar because I really wanted to. I felt like Chazar needs a big push. And if you start it off, it gives a massive cheshivas to it. That's how I used to do it. The reason why I changed, and again, there's no right or wrong, you know, you do what works best for you and your class. The reason why I changed was I felt as time went on, if I can do it at the end and can still have that same, you know, chayas and push full chazara, in the beginning they're fresh, I have them, I have their attention, you know, they're paying attention. Again, if I can hook them in, grab their attention, everybody's there. At the end, do have the same chayas, full chazara. Any other questions, comments? Okay, Rabbi Yael.
Yeah.
Excited.
Excited about the Okay, so just to continue from where Rabbi Weinbaum left off and then share some other points. Also just one thing to keep in mind, I think it's a nice thing over here. Rabbi Weinbaum teaches 6th grade and I teach 7th grade. Someone asked at some point about how much time he spends on Gemara. So Rabbi Weinbaum has davening in the younger grades. They have davening in the classroom, so their Gemara, they have less time, so Gemara is only 45 minutes. In 7th grade by us, we already have Shachas before and with a minion, so 9 o'clock we start Gemara, so we have about an hour and 45 minutes Gemara, almost 2 hours with a break in the middle, so just giving you a bit of idea. The idea of Gemara B'Fnim, what we refer to it by that, is the achievement that the Talmud could master knowing the Gemara inside, being able to read and teach the Gemara. And as was spoken about a lot yesterday by all the, you know, big speakers, that the feeling of success is very powerful and motivates Talmidim to strive to succeed more. This is something even without, you know, hearing this said clearly, it's something I picked up as well. I'm sure we all, you know, we all picked that up, that when a Talmid feels successful, he wants to do more. He enjoys that feeling, that taste of success. He wants to do more of it. Even to add to that, Rabbi Dr. Shagalov mentioned yesterday about that that boosts self-esteem as well. So ultimately, getting our Talmidim to master Gemara Bifnim, and I'm going to mention as well about even just outside Havana, gives them, they enjoy it, they look forward to it, and ultimately, you know, that's a very important part of the class. You know, as they say, the, you know, so much of classroom management is really about how our lessons are and how we teach, and the Talmidim being engaged in what's being learned really eliminates like half or even more than half of the misbehavior in a class. So if we want to accomplish that they should be able to master Gemara B'Fnim, then we need to figure out what makes them feel that taste of success to want to have more of it. So I want to get to a point, and again, Rabbi Weinbaum mentioned about it, but I want to really make a clear divide between the Havana of Gemara and the Gemara B'Fnim. And they're really, I saw clearly that there's different Talmidim have different strengths. Some Talmidim have a good head for Havana and understanding and following through a hard piece of Gemara, and they do very well with that, and all of a sudden when it comes to Gemara B'Fnim, they have a hard time, either they could have a hard time with reading or with teaching or whatever. And you could have sometimes opposite. You could have some boys that are very good at outside and B'Fnim they're Shvach, and then you could have B'Fnim that they're strong and outside they're Shvach. And I've even seen a different dynamic. I've seen even outside, I've seen certain pieces in Hakainis that I teach, I've seen there's certain sugyas of Gemara that are very like, you have to hout cup, you know, one piece, the whoever teaches Hakainis, the whole sugya of Shema Veda, and then when the later pieces, there's a, you know, if this, in that case, then this, and a whole build-up. And I picked it up 1 year, and then I realized from year to year how some students who could be your top students who keep usually have one of their keeping track, and they're following with it, and all of a sudden they come to this piece and they lose it, and they have a hard time with it. And then I start seeing the flip side. I start seeing some students who usually are not the strongest in Havana, all of a sudden here they shine because their brains, they're very good with the back and forth, and you know, they get to shine in this part. So number one, an idea just to identify that, you know, realize that some students are very strong with outside and B'Fnim could be their hard part. And some students are good at B'Fnim and outside could be the hard part. And by showing acknowledgement for their achievement in each one, we can give them that taste of success and motivate them to want to, first of all, in general, again, if it helps their self-esteem, then you have them, you know, for the whole day, especially Gemara being the first thing of the day for the older grades and being a main subject. So the fact that you help them master it and achieve it, they're motivated, saying Gemara and saying everything. That's number one. I personally have what I call an achievement program where I keep track of each Talmud's achievement. This is just we don't usually like to show with names and whatever. It's just whatever is what I have over here. But this is just an example of what I have a big poster, big sign in the back of the class, and I usually like to hang up signs like this, and I send it out to the parents of each boy in the class who achieved the piece of Gemara, and this would be even if they, sorry? So this would be if they achieve the piece of Gemara, so achieving classes of Akinus, however it's broken up. What?
What does that mean?
Achieve, okay, so I'll get to soon how I assess that and how I acknowledge that. But this would be once I determined, so let's talk about outside for a second. I want to see if I have another picture which you see even, whatever. I'm not gonna get into that. But sometimes, for example, we could be learning a piece of Gemara in class, and I'll pick up that some boys, again, after some time, you know your boys, you know whoever has a hard time with Bifnim, and you know he knows outside. And during class, I'll look out for those boys who I know will have a hard time with the Bifnim part, but at least outside they know, and I'll quickly mark it down. I'll show you soon how I keep track of that, but I'll mark it down. And then when we finish the piece and I want to acknowledge those boys, I'll include them in the sign, and what I've done is I put their name there and I put a little star over there. This way, they should know that you didn't do it fully, you didn't even get the inside of it, but at least there's some recognition. The boy knows the piece of Gemara outside. He may not know it inside, but at L'chol Bachas outside, he knows he can say it over, either because in class I saw him very involved and asking questions and answering questions, I know he knows it, or I'll call him over to tell me over the Gemara Shaklatai outside. So then I'll include him as well. And typically the rest of the boys will be for reading and teaching the Gemara, which I'll get to soon how I assess them and test them on that, and then include them in the sign. So this kind of gives them that feeling of accomplishment, that feeling of achievement, that they did something, and then later, I'm not going to pull it up right now, but I at some point, it's with a whole mill merge or whatever, but I basically have I'll even print out to the boys and send to the parents a report of each piece of Gemara, which pieces they knew outside, which pieces inside, which pieces with Rashi, and it gives them, especially for those who have a lot of it, gives them that feeling of like, wow, I did so much, and it encourages them to do more. Right. So I use, for kindness, I use Gemara Academy by Hanani Hoffinger, which I'll show soon. So I use his classes, the way he breaks it up. I found sometimes I feel like even the way he divides is too much, so certain pieces, really last year in this day, I started more of dividing it like 14A, 14B, 14C, and sometimes breaking it down even more.
How many classes does he have in your presence?
72 or something. 72. So I think I got to maybe 100 and something. So typically a class is even less than...
You're going to do this for
every class? Sometimes I missed, sometimes I didn't, I mean the data I have for every class, not always do I get around to putting the, printing or whatever. Again, this is more systematic, and I'll show you in a moment where I keep track of that. I had 22 boys. This was a piece. Obviously, there was a better, more boys were involved, and the more boys, the better. Sometimes I'll have a piece. Only the boys that wasn't, right. Sometimes I'll have a piece that less boys, and, we'll make the names there. So this is, I hit out the names over here. But this is like my spreadsheet that I have. I have the names, and I have each piece of Gemara. The color code is a separate thing. I went through a cleanness and kind of like got a feeling of which pieces are the easier pieces. Again, this is more based on Havana mostly, which are easier pieces. The yellow is like the easiest pieces. The blue is where I feel it's harder. Then I get to some green, then like even dark green where I like those harder pieces. And I'll keep track. So I'm getting a bit ahead, but let me get to how I get this information. So basically, let's go through for a moment. Let's jump back for a second of how... how the class looks like and like how we do things, and I'll get back to how I actually keep track of this and how I record the data. So the way I'll do a Gemara class, again, similar to Rabbi Weinbaum, is start off first with outside, discuss the Gemara outside, Havana, make sure they understand it. All the questions that come up, we discuss it then. By me, actually, I find that's, in a way, takes up, like, sometimes, again, depending on how hard Bifnim, but that takes up the bulk of the time, especially if you have to, musagim and concepts and whatever, and going through. So that's really, and again, go back and forth a whole bunch of times and go through the build-up and, to make sure everyone got it. Typically, that will be the longer stretch of my Gemara class, with Bifnim being less, especially later in the year as they get better at it and they feel more confident, Havana will be much faster, the Bifnim will be much faster. So we'll go over it outside. And once we're ready to go to inside, so here's where I use Gemara Academy, and I'll show you the way I use it, what points I use. Again, everyone, the Gemara Academy has a lot of things, but I use certain parts of it. So he has a part over here where he gives the class outline. So you have over here the piece of Gemara that's going to be discussed. Again, this is already after I discussed it outside. And he has over here it's the L for lead up question, answer, second answer. Again, the next part. So I'll basically go through this. I'll put this up on the board. Okay, I don't use the colors like this. Some are highlighted under like this. I do. We do the punctuation inside. We have the boys write inside the Gemara. Frecht, Emfert, Zacht, whatever. And again, I as Rabbi Weinbaum, I want to give thanks to Rabbi Wolf. Really, forgive me in the Gemara itself. So I'll over here. I'll project it on the board either with a whiteboard. I'll project in then with the markers. I'll come in without the colors, and I'll put the line numbers down, and I'll put them over here again. Frecht, the Emfert, for each part, and the boys do it as well. This way, they have in their Gemara, the full. And that takes a couple of minutes. Now with the smart boards, we got smart boards. Some people do it with a bit differently. So this is, once again, this is once we already covered outside, the Havana, and by now already, again, many boys by now, they have that, their confidence was already built up by now that they know the Gemara outside, and then we go over to inside. And this also, at this point, this is something everyone can do, even those boys who struggle with Nim, it's a simple expectation, just write it down, okay, so the challenges you can have, the boy can't see or eat too fast, whatever, but at least in terms of like capabilities, everyone could, mark down. Even if you're not going to be able to read it inside, still do it. So at least it gives them a step. It brings them a step closer to be able to do it inside because they have it already broken down. And then again, just as Rabbi Weinman mentioned earlier, we'll go to the next step of. He has a whole bunch of parts. I don't use each part, but again, if for whoever wants to look into this, you have a lot of different things. He even has the backgrounds. I sometimes uses things over here before. This is, again, before, so I'll jump. I won't go in order. And then he has a part over here which you have the actual page of the Gemara, the Tersedaf. And I'll project this on the board. In the first few years, as I went through the Gemara, I'd bring up the translation of each thing. I know people have, Rebbe's asked me, are you in a way taking them out from doing the Gemara inside? Like, in a way, you want them reading inside their Gemara? My answer was what I found is that, first of all, yes, I do walk around the class and encourage them to read inside their Gemaras. But ultimately, you'll have those boys who won't follow within their Gemara, and they'll look around the classroom and having them on the board. And again, it is Sur Sadaf, after all. So, at the end of the day, it's the same bifnim as either in their Gemara or doing on the board. They're just seeing in a big over here. So this year, I stopped doing is I stopped, constantly bringing up the translations, whatever. I don't know, I have to think about if that, whatever. But the idea is leave the Gemara up. You go through the Gemara a couple of times, again, depending on the piece. Certain pieces will be easier, and they'll, again, if they're more motivated, they'll say, okay, let's do it the first time, let's do it. And, I'll give them the hard translations one time, or sometimes even I'll just let them, what's this, or whatever, Ella, Demacia, whatever, and they'll, and then I'll help them with a few words. But with a typical piece, I'll go through, and again, I'll say the word translation, they'll say words translation, we'll do it one or two times. I try to as well, and this is a little bit to bridge maybe we just can start with the differentiated learning a bit, is that some boys who are the stronger boys right away pick up on it, and some boys, stronger boys, need it more. What I'll try to do is to do it as many times possible without getting those stronger boys bored and not interested anymore by doing it in different variations. So, we'll do it one time, and I'll say, okay, let's do one more quick read, and a speed read, and whatever, just to like a couple of times. What I like to do usually is not to finish a piece on one day. I like to, as if finish the piece, we do everything, and then the next day get back to it again before finishing up and recording it, which I'll talk about in a moment. This way it's like, we have another chance. It's, again, throwing in as many times as I can push that they're doing it inside. Which again, ultimately, the more they read it inside, the more they're going to know better. So that's really what I want to accomplish. And then again, at that point, once they know it, then whatever, we'll go back to, I'll say the words, I'll say the translations. If they, if it was good right away, they pretty much, most of the class knew it. So then we'll move on from there. Otherwise, we'll do it, okay, let's do that one more time. And again, I'll give them to say the translation and pick up which are those hard words. So that's what's going through inside. After that point, I want to now test them on it and see who knows it. And in a way, this system, again, I'm just sharing what works for me, and again, not everything over here works for everyone. You can pick up on what things you can use and what things, do a little bit different and be creative. But the idea, at this point, I want to test the boys, and what with this thing is I accomplish that I test each and every boy on every piece of Gemara, as opposed to doing a test. I don't do, after, let's say, at the end of the week or at the end of the month, a test, Bifnim test, where you call up boys to read certain pieces. First of all, then, sometimes the older grades of kids don't like to do it or whatever, and even over there, you test them on only certain parts, you're not testing them on everything, and doesn't do right. And you'll have the boy will say, I know just this piece. Okay, so now, good. So the boy got the acknowledgement for knowing his one little piece when we learned five pieces. I mean, well, you're not pushing him to do more. So what I have, and again, I have the resources to do it, so I do it. I have, again, sharing the system of how I do it, and maybe there could be other alternatives. I happen to have a whole bunch of phones, with tablets. You could do a similar idea. Someone set me up with an app that basically, again, the phones are locked down or whatever, and they can basically, it's a dial pad, Psychleap, Sukech, whoever is familiar with it, and the phones work just for that. Each boy has their ID number, and basically after we finish the Gemara and we're ready to test the boys, I'll hand each boy a phone. The boy punches in his code, and he starts recording. So I'll walk around the class, give out the phones, and again, each boy's working on their own. Again, if you can, technically, this idea could be done as well with maybe recorders. Again, there's certain things that make it simple for me to be able to listen to the masses because I have this system, but if you want to do it in a way, you give them recorders and let them record into that, and you take them home after the lesson. But then again, another idea is, this wouldn't really, again, unless you have all the resources, you can't do it in the classroom. What? So I do, especially at the beginning of the year. But again, I'll listen to this system, comes into your email. I'll listen to it as I'm, washing dishes at home or walking to Meijer. I'll listen to it's a lot. But again, the more I'm on top of it, the more I give them the feedback, the more I see it makes a difference. Certain boys that they know it, so I just spot check the recording and you can hear. For again, this is after you're in class with them and you know which boys know it. You know already your Talmud. You know who knows it. You know who might not know it. You know who's paying attention. And the boys who I know it, I'll skim through it and whatever. And some boys I'll listen to it a little bit more. And the amazing thing as well, sometimes listening to a recording, I can hear he doesn't know it. And I try to give them the feedback after saying, hey, I heard you recording it, but it seemed like you didn't. And that'll be an opportunity to go over and to motivate the boy to do better next time. Like, you can't hack me a China because, you didn't really know it. And here, let's go over it again. Again, alternative, if you don't have phones or devices in the classroom, you can do it if anyone does homework or anything like that. You can do it as a psychic. Definitely, it could be done. It could be set up that they call from home. And they record, and then again, the same thing, it comes to you, you can listen to it. The only thing I have, which is very convenient, and I love it, is that I have the phones in the classroom, and they're recording it in class. It's not homework, it's on the spot, it's mandatory, they're all doing it. Now, what happens then is I give out the phones. Yeah. It's fine. Sometimes you hear the background noise, but the boys hold it next to them. It's fine. Sometimes I'll have boys recording while I already continue teaching, and then I'll hear myself in the background and listen to the recording. And sometimes it gets hard if the boy, that's really, really where it gets challenging. But usually when they're all recording, they're saying it all loud, and the classroom is very noisy, and it's fine. And during that time, again, here's where you get a little bit of that differentiated instruction, which we'll talk more about soon, is that while, I'll finish the piece. Okay, we know it. I'll say, okay, guys, do one last read because again, until now we've been doing it together. Read it on your own one more time just to be sure, and then motion me for a phone.
Can you share what exactly it is?
So okay, so some of it, I'm not sure that the one who set me up with getting the phones, I'm not sure if he's offering to do it for everyone, but the Psyk Lipsukeich is available for everyone. This system which everyone can do. The actual phone, yeah. I don't know if he's offering to us him to whatever. He set up one of these voice over IP apps, Zoiper it's called, and he helped me program it. Meaning if you have the devices, choose, you can probably, it probably is doable. You got a cheap Android tablet. Okay, right. Meaning if it's just about you're doing it. So, okay. So if you're at that point that it's you want to implement your agent, talk to me. We'll figure it. I'll see if I can help you. But, so at that point I'll give out the phones. I'll start recording, and that gives me the opportunity to walk around the class. Some boys still need help. What's that translation? What's that word? So while already a whole bunch of boys already started recording, I could already walk around the class and help those boys who need that last word and catch a quick, chat with a boy here and there. And then usually the boys who know it the best are the boys who finish it first. And then very often I'll say, can you help him? He needs a few, can you help him with translations? And sometimes even I'll have him, can you help him, the boys who have a better kreyachasbar, can you go over the Havana with him? Like, I'll know, okay, that boy needs only help bifnim. Okay, could you help him teach him? A boy who didn't get it bifnim, again, especially with the simpler piece of Gemara, I'll ask one of the boys, can you help him? So that kind of like keeps them all busy and they're helping each other. And again, at the end of the day, that also gives a chance to those who don't know it bifnim, at least we at some point during this whole time I was able to get what Havana they have and keep track of that. And regarding Bachazar, which I have what to learn from other Rebbe's, but from time to time, what I found, and even had boys in the class saying, oh, we want more Bachazar time, whatever. But honestly, what I found is doing it this way, doing it thoroughly, that they really know it. I found that the boys retain it for months later. We can go, and sometimes without even getting back to it. Again, Bachazar is very important. But if you do it right the first time, as Michal Rottenberg likes saying, perfect practice makes perfect. Not you say practice makes perfect. It's not true. If you practice it wrong, it doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. I find to be that when you that's perfect. But I find to be that when they learn it well the first time, and they actually know it, they really know it, they retain it for a very long time afterwards. The Bachazar, what I do, which again I need to get better at it, is every once in a while, and I'll use out those free minutes here and there when, we finish a piece and I don't really want to start next piece yet, I'll say, okay, let's go back to this piece from, a long time ago. And that also gives another opportunity right when I'm about to start that Bachazar, I'll quickly take a look at which boys, back to my chart over here. I'll say, okay, we're getting back to Bachazar class 7A. I'll quickly look at my chart, who had the outside. Okay, I see there's one boy with the outside over here. I'll run past that boy and I'll say, hey, you know this piece. Like, we already established it. Here you have an extra chance to follow with us. And sometimes that will give an opportunity for those boys to get on board and master the Bifnim. Okay, that's really that about the Gemara Bifnim. Moving on to more the independent learning, I want to move back to Rabbi Weinbaum. And to meet each other, to speak with each other, whoever's on the Machanchum Exchange WhatsApp, so you have numbers there, you see names, but reach out to each other, share ideas. Right now it's more we're taking in ideas, discussing things. You may have heard, again, not just from me or Ryan I'm speaking now, you may have heard from another Machanach, another teacher who's speaking, asked a question and threw a comment that might have, hey, let me follow up with them later. So again, now it's just really a chance to be exposed to it all, and really you can always follow up with it later.
Thank you. Okay. By the way, did I take your question before?
No.
Okay. Okay. So this is supposed to be 15 minutes, but I think we'll see if we can knock it down to 10 and just run through it. Hopefully it'll be helpful information for you to take into the next year. So as you can see, the title is Independent Learning, and differentiated instruction. Like before, just go through quickly what we're going to say. And that is, I'm going to give you again, very quick, if you could just turn over the paper. The first side, it says Gemara B'Snim. Just turn over the other side, it says independent learning and DI. Same thing. Then we'll go to why it's so important that your Talmidim are learning independent. Why do they need to do it? Then how to do it with resources. Like, what do you need practically to be able to do independent learning? And then we'll go on to how you should do it with time-wise and holding them responsible. And then the second part is DI, differentiated instruction. Okay? So again, I'll just give you 30 seconds if you can just fill out the paper, independent learning and DI. If you just fill out that paper. Okay? So I can pull it up on the screen if I have the slide. I don't know if I have the slide. No. For what? For Gemara? Depends. 2 years ago, I did a weekly test. I learned that from Rabbi Levi Feldman. It was too much for me, so that's why I stopped doing that. But what I did is now at the end of each sugya, so they have the accountability, and they know in advance when the test is coming up. They know what the test is on, and it wasn't on a weekly basis. Probably every 2 weeks. An assessment, right? It's a great question. I'll be glad to discuss if there's time. Looks like we could discuss a lot to learn. So let's speak. Let's just stay on topic. Okay. Shabbos is coming in a few days. A Hesa Chalant. How do you get a Hesa Chalant? It tastes good. It's Geschmack. But how do you get there? Well, Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbos, Teichel B'Shabbos. Right? You got to make the challenge. If you want to eat challenge on Shabbos, you got to make the challenge before Shabbos. As Melamdim, we're teaching them to learn. We want them to one day be able to learn on their own. Right? That's the goal. To be able one day to not have a teacher, to go to the Beis Medrash, to go to Shul, and to learn. If that's the goal, we got to start doing that now, right? The Rebbe always spoke about Mashiach. Mashiach's coming. Now we taste it. Now we got to experience it, right? And that's how we bring Mashiach. And it's very, very clear. If the goal is independent learning, so then we must start now. Obviously, this is besides for the massive help that it will do for you. If you're doing frontal teaching the whole day, it can get very, very tough. But if you have that switch where they learn on their own, so then it helps tremendously. Okay, so I need to do independent learning, or it's a big help. I think it's a need. But how do I do it? You need to have resources. So here I'm sharing with you what we have in Lubavitch Yeshiva, Crown Street, the curriculum for Mishnayos, the three-part, what we have for the kids to be able to learn Mishnayos. And this really helps them, that they're able to learn the Mishnah independently. So the class will start off with the boys having their workbook open up to the concept box, the concept page. And I'll go through the concepts. These concepts, the point of it is, in addition to them gaining yediyah, which now they'll know concepts in Torah, is to also give them background that they'll be able to learn the Mishnah. They're going to learn a Mishnah. It's going to say Miba'oid Yom. Okay, good. In sixth grade, they know the Taich of Miba'oid Yom. It's still day. Which day? What does that mean? So when Mishnah says Miba'oid Yom, still day, it means it's still the day before Shabbos. It's the day before Yom Tov. Okay? So that helps them be able to learn the Mishnah. That's the first thing. They have a concept box. Number two, then they're going to have time on their own to learn the Mishnah. How are they going to do this? They have the words that are broken up into phrases, and they write the Taich. What about the hard words? What about the words they don't know? So very nice. I know they have the background information, but I don't know words. So at the bottom, they have a dictionary box, which helps them with hard words. Any hard words that are there. Yachbar, it's a hard word. So it's there, Adeka and so forth, and that helps them to be able to learn the Mishnah. In addition, We want them to understand the Mishnah, right? So, learning Umoidim. Who agrees? Who's agreeing? Okay? So, there's a blank over there, and it says, who's agreeing? And they have to fill in, as you see, they have to fill in. There's options over there at the bottom of the page, who they fill in, and they fill in that it's Beis Hillel. They fill in Hillel. So, in addition to that, we want them, the words that they're learning, the hard words, we want them to remember those words. So therefore, every page has a review box where they're writing in the old words. The third part is Havana. Havana, which is questions on seeing that they understand the Mishnah. So that's the three parts of the booklet. And they have assessments on Mishnayos. So we're going to get to momentarily. I'm going to get to how I hold them accountable, and we'll get to that momentarily. Okay. I don't have a curriculum. I don't have a workbook. I don't have one for Chumash. If people have on Parshas Chukas, I've seen a few things. Still working. If anyone has what to share, please, by all means, would love to hear. But for Chumash, I do the following. I don't have a workbook, and I'm not yet up to being able to make a worksheet, which is another option. You know, not able to prepare in advance before the whole year, for the whole year, the parsha, or the perek, the mesechta. So you can do worksheets. A nice before you do worksheets of all the things they need to be able to learn independently. If that's too much, so this is what I do for Chumash. Chumash classes after lunch, after I have a little break and eat my lunch, I put on the board all the hard words. So when they're going to learn Chumash independently, they're going to get stuck on hard words. They look, it's on the board. It says which pasuk it's in, says which word, and it says the translations. Okay, so those are three options of what you could do. Obviously, it's not as much as when it's on the board. It's not the same as a worksheet or a workbook, but it works and it does the job. Okay, very important. When you are giving them time to learn independent, it's not free for all. Rabbi Gerari, we had a Yom Iyun in Lubavitch Yeshiva. Rabbi Gerari from Sydney came to speak, and he said that every day he started off his class, Chevra, the time is very short. We have to learn a lot. They knew it was 2 hours class, but he wanted to get the message across to them. Hayom Katsa, Malachim Aruba, you know? So the point is, it's not free. It's not chavrusa time. Have a shmooze, and then you'll get into it. The time is very, very limited. And for chumash, it's chavrusa. They learn the chavrusas. For mishnayos, they're doing the workbook on their own. The time is limited for it, and there's a stopwatch on the smart board, and it's going. So you got to finish within that time. Okay, K9 Hara. The classes are big. You need to be able to help the students. So you got to be paying attention in class. Right? When I'm speaking, I want all eyes on me. You need to be paying attention to the teacher when the Rebbe is speaking. So you got to be paying attention in class. That will help that you have all the concepts filled out. In addition to that, when you have a hard word, it's there at the bottom. What happens is the word is not on the board or it's not there in the dictionary box. Okay? First of all, think. A lot of times, they just straight away want to ask. Think. Did you actually think about the word, the translation? So think. And when you're able to help them and guide them and educate them to think, stop, you know, wait a minute, think, chach. And, oh, I could figure out the sharish, I could figure out the taich. That's very, very cool. If after that you don't know the taich, ask your neighbor the word, ask your neighbor the taich. Your neighbor doesn't know, then raise your hands. What that does is it cuts down the amount of questions which are catered to me, and I'm walking around. Me walking around helps with the questions, also keeps them on their toes that they're doing their work. Okay. How do we hold them accountable? So, the workbook is a must. There's no not filling out a workbook. It's just a simple, basic tenet in life. You need to be responsible. So you don't not fill out your workbook. So if you're doing it on the board, it's much harder to hold them accountable. So what I did was, and I only did it when I was able to do it, was I said, if I saw that I could see that it was needed, I said, I'm going to be walking around. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to be marking. If I see a chavrus is not learning, then you'll be held accountable for that time. So it's another way to hold them accountable. And then every so often, there were a few, you know, had to say. No. Chumash I did with chavrusa. Mishnayos I did with the workbook. Okay? So that's a big, the fact that they know their workbook needs to be done. Chayk v'layavar. In this class, everybody fills out your workbook. I'm not filling out my workbook. Okay, you'll do it at home. Okay? And then you have it takes a while till it happens, and you have the one Talmud that doesn't do it, and then he doesn't do it at home. Okay, so in order to come back to the class tomorrow, your workbook needs to be filled out. obviously you need to have principles backing for that, but that holds, that has a workbook helped a lot, that they're focused, they're anchored, they're busy. In addition, mentioned before, we have assessments which focus on the parts of the workbook. So we want to know how's the vocabulary doing, how's that, not just individual words, but phrases. You know, you know a taich, but then how you translate a sentence is different, right? In addition to that, there's concepts, how's the ideas, basic concepts in Shas. In addition to that, the Havana. So that's the assessment, broken up into these three parts. And then, once a week, we have a fun accountability, which is Klugah. We play the two classes, myself and Rabbi Sorkin. Rabbi Sorkin is one of my many, many inspirations. How long have you been teaching? How many years? There you go. Incredible. Just mamash inspiring. Like, here, it's just incredible by the Kinnasim HaChanukim, and day in, day out, we play Klugah together, myself and Rabbi Sorkin. We do it, and it's great fun. The kids love it. And here's where the responsibility comes in. You're not going to let your team down. If you don't know the concept, you don't know the taich, it's not just setting yourself. And it's good, positive reinforcement of holding them accountable. Okay? Once a week. No, Mishnayis. Next year, we want to work on for Gemara. Figure out something for Gemara. We think about adding Gemara, but we're thinking how to do it, not to be taking away from Mishnayis. Okay. The second part of the presentation is DI, differentiated instruction. So we mentioned this before. A lot of times in the work, so basically what's DI? When do you need DI? Right of the class, you don't need that, right? The majority are one level. You're going to have the 20%, which are the higher end of the class. You have the 20%, which are the lower end of the class. And that's where you need the DI for, right? So let's start with the high end. The higher end, you could do it in a few ways. One way is if you have the workbooks already done in advance, so a lot of bonus questions. And for those Talmidim, the bonus question is not a bonus. Everybody's here to work. The most important thing in class is you work your hardest. So Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter benched you, you have a good cup. Okay, so the bonus for you is not a bonus. For you, that's regular, and you're expected to do the bonus. Okay, in addition to that, you're hopefully Isaac in the Indian, you know a Geshmak Rashi, you know a Geshmak Mefarish, you know a Geshmak Tosfos and so forth. You're going to show the kid, I'm holding you responsible to learn this Rashi, this Tosfos and so forth. That's what you're responsible. So it's not, you know, I'm done because he has a higher level. Bachazar before mentioned, he has to add boxes to the Bachazar worksheet. So that way he has to do more chazar and so forth. Obviously, extremely, extremely important that it's done and presented and given over in the right way. For the Shvacha end kids, it's just the other way around. You have many different things that you're doing in the workbook, and what do you want to do? You want to hold them accountable, not for everything. So to have them responsible for the Avonah, for the Taichin, and for the concepts is too much. We're going to start off with you. You're focusing just on Taichin. Okay? What you're going to be held accountable for, when you do the assessment, when you play the game and so forth, whatever it's going to be, we're going to hold you accountable for Taichin. Okay? Don't be sorry. Thank you for coming. Okay? There you go. Kept it short, sweet, to the point. Does anybody have any questions, comments, anything? I think Rabbi Vogel, you up? Shabbat l'chaim. It's like the kids. It's like the
kids. You don't mind me saying something.
Please.
Your point before, there were twice, once last year, but there were twice or three times where there was certain Rashis. There was one Rashi in Amafkid, which you teach about Lema Levet Yufta, Lishnakama Vadi Loitet Yufta. So it's a Rashi, which is a very difficult Rashi, and I usually skip it. This past year, the kids were into it. They knew, they were so into that Gemara. No. So I said, you know what, let's learn that Rashi. My worst mistake. Well, not worst. I made more. But the kids did not get it. They were so lost and whatever. But they were into it, I thought, for sure. Okay. I have a neighbor, teaches a grade 6, Perek HaMafkid, to Nat Lubavitch School. And he told me he had the same problem. Same thing happened to him. Nat Lubavitch School is a Masnagish school, but same exact thing. He tried to go there. It didn't work. So you have to teach. Yeah. Even if you think they're not. I thought it's individual kids, but not the class. Why we teach
earlier? Sure. What does that explain? Yeah? Check it out. Fascinating.
They have an actual science.